at any rate, Romans chapter 11 is really dealing with this question of what has happened to Israel, that is Israel, the nation, and is the fact that Israel is cast away, does that mean that God has cast away his people? You see, that's the question that is at issue here in Romans chapter 11. I want to just review for you a little bit about who Israel really was. Of course, when this world was created, the first man was Adam. Adam and Eve had children. And was there even such a thing as a nation of Israel? Well, of course, no. There was no nation of Israel. It was just one people on the face of the earth. And so time rolled on along here, and along came Abraham, and God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and said, I'm going to make a great nation after you. It's still kind of a future thing, right? God said, I am going to make a nation. You're going to have a seed, Isaac, and Isaac's going to have children, blah, blah, blah. And at some point, I'm going to have a great nation. So that's sort of the roots of it here. And so Abraham did, as you know, miraculously have a child, Isaac. And then Isaac had a child, Jacob. Jacob had children. One of his children was Joseph, remember. And Joseph got sold by his evil brothers down into Egypt. And the family ultimately went down into Egypt because of the famine. There was a great famine, and Joseph had, by being able to interpret dreams, Joseph was able to make provision in Egypt for the famine years. And so this family of Jacob came down to Egypt to eat. They remained there in Egypt for how long, do you remember? 400 years down in Egypt. Finally, after 400 years, the new Pharaoh in Egypt wasn't so kind to this family that was multiplying there in Egypt, and so they enslaved them. And so you have this family of Jacob that is now enslaved in Egypt. Really, they're not Israel yet as we know them. They're just a family of people enslaved in Egypt, and along comes a deliverer whose name was Moses. So Moses comes along. By the way, Abraham was in about the year 2000. Moses came along approximately 1500 B.C. So Moses comes along, and he takes them out of Egypt and leads them south down to a mountain called Sinai. And God met with Moses and gave Moses this covenant for the people. And so Moses comes along in 1500 B.C. All of a sudden we have this covenant. And under this covenant is constituted a people. And this people, of course, are called Israel. Israel, of course, was the name that God gave to Jacob. But this people assume that name now, and they become known as the people of Israel. And they are really constituted under this covenant. It's the Mosaic covenant. Obviously, it's called a Mosaic covenant because it was given to Moses, right? It was the covenant that God gave to Moses to give to the people. And just to simplify this covenant for you, God simply said, if you do these things, if you do all of these requirements that I give you, I will do what for you? Bless you. And if you don't do these things, I will curse you. If you read Deuteronomy 28, it's really a great chapter that details all of these things. And he said, if you do these things, I'm going to bless you. One of the things he said I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a land. He's not talking about heaven, but he's talking about a little strip of land there in Canaan. I'm going to give you your own place, you see. I'll give you your land, and not only that, but I'm going to rain on your crops. I'll make them grow. Won't that be nice, you see? So land, crops, if any enemies come to attack you, guess what? I'm going to take care of them, you see? I'll take care of all of your enemies for you. I'll go out before you. I'll take care of the Philistines and the Canaanites and all the other ites there. And so that was part of the promises that God made to them. On the other hand, if you disobey me, I'm going to take your land away. I'm not going to rain on your crops anymore, you see. So a fairly straightforward covenant that he made with them. But they were constituted under this Mosaic covenant. They were a Mosaic people. And so they were fashioned under that law. Of course, we know from the New Testament especially that this Mosaic covenant was only designed to be a temporary covenant. You remember? Galatians 3:19 says, "For the law was added because of transgressions until," what? "The seed should come." And so the Mosaic covenant continued on until Christ. That's what Paul said in Galatians 3:19. It was added at this point and until the seed should come. Israel as a nation existed under this covenant in the Old Testament until the seed should come. What we find, though, is that during this whole time, they really were not a spiritual people for the most part. Some were. There was always some within the nation that really loved God, that believed in him, and to whom God imputed his righteousness and so forth. But the masses, the majority of this people, never knew Jehovah. And so even in the very beginning, when Moses gave them the law, you remember, it wasn't long, they were worshiping calves down there, engaging in all kinds of activities that were not good. And also, God didn't let them go into the land of Canaan immediately. Why? They were all in unbelief. And so he steered them around for 40 years in the wilderness until that generation passed off the scene. Only Joshua and Caleb, from the first generation, was allowed to enter the land. You see how such a few always in Israel were really God's people. Yeah, it's just a few miles up there, you see. Right. Even riding camels, it would have been a few weeks, maybe a few months, to travel the distance up to the land of Canaan. But no, God roamed them around for 40 years until they died out. Elijah's day, Elijah says, "I'm the only one left that hasn't bowed the knee to Baal." God said, "No, there's 7,000. Out of the several million in Israel, 7,000 were believers. But you see always what a small portion of the nation was really saved. When Jesus came along, the nation itself rejected him, said, "We don't want to have anything to do with you." That was just a reflection of what this nation always was. They were always God rejectors. Again, I'll have to look it up, and let's just say this is my guess. I think it's a couple million.
7,000.
What?
7,000.
Yeah, 7,000 out of a couple. Well, that was in Elijah's day, which was later than that. Yes. Very small remnant of people that of the nation that were actually God-fearing people, you see. There's much confusion about Israel these days, and it confuses your understanding of the Bible. And we need to understand who these people were. They were an earthly people that God chose for an earthly purpose. There's several purposes of Israel, but let's just list a couple of them. One was they were the nation through whom the Messiah would come, right? So Christ was always the goal. Christ was always the end that the nation pointed to. One of the main reasons for Israel was to provide a people through whom the Messiah would come. They were also typical. Now, what do we mean by typical? We mean that it points to the reality. A type is just a figure that points to the real thing. So if a lamb was a type, it was just a dumb animal, right? But it pointed to the lamb with a capital L, you see, right? And so we call this the type, and this is the substance. And Israel in the Old Testament was an earthly people that was a type of the real people of God, you see. It was a human people, mostly lost, but they served as a picture of the real people of God. Now, I'm not saying that some of the people in Israel were not saved. They were. There were some that were the real people of God within the nation. But for the most part, they were a typical people. They were a people under law. Now, that's a difficult position to be in, you see, to be a people under the law of God. And to be under the law, if you're a fallen creature, it is tantamount to condemnation, isn't it? And what the Old Testament proved to us was that you cannot be saved under the law. It doesn't do you any good to have the law. The only thing that does you any good is to do the law, you see. It's not the hearers of the law, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So, but they were a people under the law of God. They were a people that was involved in rituals. It would have been great if they would have just understood that the rituals were just pictures of the reality. But they were a people that were engaged in all of these ceremonies and rituals, which were good in themselves, but you have to understand that the rituals don't save you. Ultimately, in the end, the Jews said, no, we don't want Jesus, we want our rituals. We want our Jewish religion, you see. Judaism is what we want. We don't want the substance of things. We reject the type. We reject what the type means, really. And so this is where Israel was established. It was always designed to be a temporary people. The Mosaic Covenant doesn't continue on after Christ, does it? If you read 1 Corinthians, it talks about the Mosaic Covenant being done away. Of necessity, it is done away because the Mosaic Covenant was a typical covenant. And therefore, it's a very temporary thing. 1,500 years was all that the Mosaic Covenant was ever designed to be in force. And the people under the covenant were only designed to be in force for 1,500 years. And then Christ came along. Romans chapter 11 is going to give us some more insights into this, what has happened to this nation Let's take a look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 7. What's the first thing that you can say about the nation of Israel in Romans 11, 7? Romans 11, 7 says, Israel hath what? Not obtained the promises. All right? Not obtained it. Well, that makes sense if you consider what we've just been talking about, because the nation never believed God. Right? A few of them did, but for the most part, the nation never did. And so Paul says, Israel, that is the nation Israel, hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Now, they wanted God. They were zealous. They wanted to go to heaven like everybody else in the world, you see. They wanted to be accepted by God, but they ultimately did not obtain it, did they? That's what Paul says in Romans 11, 7. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Who, by the way, did obtain it? The election. It says, but the elect did. What does that tell you about these people? Not elect. Does everyone see that? Is that not as clear as the nose on your face? Israel hath not obtained it, but the elect obtained it. In verse 7 also it says that the rest were what? Blinded. So we can say that the nation was blinded. Notice it says we're talking about two different people here, or two different entities. One, we're talking about Israel, right? The nation. On the other side, we're talking about the elect. Did Israel obtain the promises? Did the nation of Israel obtain the promises? Did the elect obtain the promises? Yes. Israel, the nation, was what? Blinded, it says in verse 7. And these people are called the rest of them. So here's the picture. A few of the people are the elect. We'll put E's in there. Few of the people are the elect. What are these people called? The rest. Just the rest of the bunch. The rest of the bunch was what? Blinded. So we got the fact that they have not obtained the promises. Secondly, they were blinded. You notice in verse 8, he kind of sort of restates it. Lord, they, who's he talking about there? The nation of Israel. The nation of Israel hath killed thy prophets. Verse 7, excuse me, wrong verse. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see. That's blinded. And what else? Ears that they should not hear. So they became deaf. Deaf to God's word. Couldn't see it, couldn't hear it. In verse 8. In verse 9 and 10, we find that this is nothing new. This is not new information. The fact that Israel rejects God and is not his elect was foretold by who? David. David foretold it. And David says, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. That's what David said. in 1000 B.C. David said that. And so it was foretold, wasn't it? This reprobate character of Israel was foretold by David in the Old Testament. This is nothing new. In verse 11, you'll notice that Paul says that they have stumbled. Do you see that? I say then, have they stumbled? He's assuming that they have stumbled. He's talking about why did they stumble, but I'm pointing out here that they are characterized as having stumbled. That is, they didn't accept Christ. They stumbled over him. In verse 11 also, they are characterized as being fallen. Do you see that? They are fallen. We're going to go over all these verses in more detail, probably. Not today, but later. But I'm pointing out how the nation of Israel is characterized in this chapter. They've stumbled. They've fallen. In verse 15, they are characterized as being cast away. For if the casting away of them, you see, be the reconciling of the world. So, was Israel cast away? Paul says so, yeah. They were cast away. In verse 17, they are characterized as branches being broken off. So they are broken off branches. Broken off branches. In verse 21, it indicates that God did not spare them. Look at verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches. So according to that, did God spare them? Did God say, oh, that's okay? No, God didn't spare them. Did not spare. We're talking about the nation of Israel. In verse 22, we see that something fell on them. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. That's Israel. Remember, they fell. What was it that they experienced from God? Well, it's called God's severity. Severe punishment, condemnation, damnation. And so, let's move it over here. We'll put severity of God. Boy, that's something you never want to experience. Severity. When it comes to God's judgments. In verse 23, they are characterized as abiding in unbelief. Unbelief. Right. Which he's pretty much characterizing, that's what they're doing. We'll talk about these more in detail. There's lots of questions that we have when we go through chapter 11. And it says in verse 23, if they abide not still in unbelief. Oh, yes, I see what you're saying. It's supposing in verse 23 that they are in unbelief. Would you agree? They are in unbelief. If they abide not in unbelief, they can be what? Grafted back in. But the point is, at this present time, they are where? In unbelief. Okay. In verse 25, Verse 25. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. So again, we have this idea of blindness. It's called in part there. Why do you think it's called in part? Because not all of them are blind. There are a few, you see. There is a remnant, always. But for the most part, blindness has come upon Israel. In verse 28, last part of 25. Okay, well, you're trying to push me down 2 or 3 weeks into our lesson here. It's complicated. It would be hard for me to deal with it in 5 minutes. But all it says is there is that blindness has happened to Israel until the Gentiles become in. Now, what your question is going to be, does that mean then the nation is going to be saved?
It,
that's right. That's the question. And my
opinion.
Yeah.
Right.
See, there's this whole idea out there that somehow God is going to restore this nation. He's going to save this nation. I don't think that's what this passage is talking about. But and we're going to deal with that more comprehensively in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But all that saying there is that, what verse was that, 25? Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I think what that means is that you've got a remnant of Israel who are saved, and then the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Fullness of the Gentiles, and that composes Israel. That's really what Israel is. True spiritual Israel is those whom God saves out of the nation of Israel, but the most of them are reprobate. And then he brings in the fullness of the Gentiles, and in this way, and so, all Israel will be saved. I think we're Israel. I think we're Israel. We're spiritual Israel. And we're not this nation. But Israel would seem to be composed of Gentiles and Jews, the elect, those whom God has chosen, you see. And so, yes, ma'am. Yes, even right. Even in the Old Testament, Gentiles were saved. A few, anyway, which would certainly indicate that they are a part of this entity that is known as spiritual Israel. And that's the important Israel to God, is His people. So, I wanted to give you that summation. Take a look at verse 28 and let's see what the nation is called. As concerning the gospel, they, talking about the nation of Israel, are what? Enemies. Enemies. Can you imagine? This people of God in the Old Testament ultimately are the enemies of the gospel, aren't they? So go back to verse 1 now, Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Now, here's the thing. Are these people cast away? Well, yes, but it uses that very language. They are cast away. But has God cast away his people? No, that's impossible. So that tells you that this bunch is not what? His people. Isn't that what it says? Hath God cast away his people? And he goes on and he tells them, yes, God has blinded them. God, David foretold it. They've stumbled. They've fallen. They've been cast away. They've been broken off. God didn't spare them. The severity of God has fallen on them. They're in unbelief. Blindness in part to them. They're enemies of the gospel. But God hasn't cast away his people. You get it? God forbid. God cannot possibly cast away his people. All right. It is clear in the first two or three verses of chapter 11 that there is only one definition of God's real people, and that is what? Election. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Those people whom God previously set his love upon, he in no way could ever cast them off. These people, yes, but not those who he foreknew. That's what this is about, you see. Verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so at this present time also there is a remnant according to the, what? Election of grace. Not the election of a people to be an earthly people under the law, but according to the election of grace. These people were just a type. All right, well, we'll stop there and give you a chance to go back and get a donut here before our morning service.